I've been wanting to do an episode and got here and do my thing. Got playoffs coming up. Basketball is getting hot. We got players scoring left and right, 60, 50, 50, 60, 70 points. Happy New Year to everybody. This is Sauce Talk. And like I said, I've been wanting to do an episode leading up since the start of December. And it's been tough because what has, what's been going on and what has transpired. And starting 2023 without my hero is going to be a tough climb, knowing that a certain phone number is not going to call. I'm not going to be able to come into a childhood house and give a fist bump to my hero. So I guess just to be like, now it's like if I'm going to do it, get back on track and start the new year off, I can't let weeks go by without coming on and giving y'all something. So try to get through this episode for people out there that's probably been wondering where I've been, because I don't want to keep on having dips like that. But it's got a heavy heart, and I just need y'all to kind of bear with me and pray. And I got an amazing support group as far as friends, family. Over this weekend, that definitely shined for, those out there who know who they are. And guests, the people that have known and heard voices on here, Sam Jones, Mark Hale, James Parker, Horace Coleman. I appreciate y'all's, kind words and support and y'all being here, with me during this time. Because it's not easy. It's not easy by a little bit. And, my dad, the person he was, it ties into me doing this podcast because he was a person that was creative, a person that knew, you're going to have to go out there and work and knew what you got to do to take care of yours. But the creative mind of him to take this and try to make this, shake this, make it into that. I can make this sound like this. And I take that with this to be like, when you hear different people do podcasts, you hear this, you hear the post of this, whatever. And I'm always trying to be creative in how I can be different, say things different. You recycle things along the way. I recycled a lot from him. A lot of my ways, a lot of my mannerisms and things of that nature. My love for cars, my love for being techie, my love for, mechanical things, to look at certain things, see how things are made and stuff like that. I got that from my dad. Through the years sitting there playing video games with my dad, gained more knowledge with sports, watched more sports. Thanks to my brother to show me the way of showing me players and things, and my dad helping that as well, out at that as well. Keeping me involved in sports, taking me to camps, you know, going to work knowing that, you know, he didn't come to all my games because he was working. And that's, as a kid, I was blessed to know, have that understanding to be like, I'm not going to be mad at him. I'm not going to sit there. And he was out there getting it done. That was a hard working man, and he's gonna be missed. 65 years. I think he deserves 5 or 10 minutes of my episode for me to sit there and say how great he was, man, and the fight that he, you know, put on as far as what he went through, you know, with health stuff. It was a little bit more of a showing that, like, for the afterlife, you know, heaven, you know, what I believe in is, like, people up there probably was like, damn, man, this guy's tough as nails. This guy's tough as nails, man. So people out there, man, you know, loved ones, man, family, it's not just about parents, but it's just loved ones in general, man. Like, when people sit there and say, call them, say I love you, hug them, I never took it lightly, because I made sure that we had our conversations. I made sure that we've always had that, those talks, or I'm going to be around, or we're going to do this and stuff like that. Because in this healing process, one thing that I would say that helps is being to go back in memories and knowing that we had those. And I could sit there and look at his cell phone. I can look at a shirt. I can look at a hat and be like, you know, we had those. And in the times leading up to, we still did. Can't believe it. Just like last night, you know, as all of us sports guys, sports ladies, last night, you know, everybody, the whole world, even if you wasn't watching, you know, we got social media today and stuff like that, and you see certain stuff, and it's just like we seen a 24-year-old young man following the cardiac arrest during the Monday Night Football game with the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was the craziest thing, sitting there watching the game. I was watching something on TV, and somebody was like, hey, man, you mind putting on the game? I was like, yeah. I wasn't watching, you know, I was waiting on, you know, saying anybody to sit there and give me a suggestion. You know, my mind is how it's working. Sports was kind of like an on and off thing throughout the weekend. It was like certain things I got to see where Ohio State, you know, put up their 30 points, and everybody know me sitting there saying, like, when they get 30, they're undefeated. And when it was a known stat. And then they turn around and lose. You know, I've picked and popped in little things. You know, Penn State put a good job last night. Like I said, I've seen, you know, LeBron put up good numbers on his birthday. Sad day. So it was just days where I glanced at certain things for me to be able to come on here to say this and that. But the main thing was sitting there watching the Bengals and Bills and seeing that game come to a stop like that. And you get to see humility and empathy at a real great time, because, you know, death, everybody knows it. We die. Machines, after a certain time, they go out. It's the way of life. Nothing lasts forever. You know, a building, you know, a statue or something like that. At some point, something's going, you know, it's like all of this stuff all around us. Something comes to an end. We know this. People come, we go, we reminisce. But when you talk about somebody being 24 years old who just entered into a league to where he gets to live out a dream, and then you got 26, 28, 29, you got 30, you got 33, you got parents and family and people with kids and stuff like that around watching. knowing that it's a violent sport and knowing that it can hurt people, it's nothing to can prepare you for whenever somebody loses their life on the field. And last night, a lot of people witnessed a person lose their life on the football field last night. And thank God that, you know, thank God. Because that's one of the things where I look at, I thank God to be blessed to sit there and have things that have happened in 2022, knowing that how it was going to end. It's things where you can sit there and say, man, glad we did that, glad we did this. But in this instance, it's like, thank God CPR worked. Thank God that prayers worked and things of that nature, where we now can understand that this kid, Mr. Hamlin, is in critical condition, but not like he was last night, because that man was dead. And that right there could make the biggest gargantuan 6'5", 6'6", 280-some-pound man ball up into a shell and say, I don't want to play football no more tonight. And that's what we saw. And, you know, there's a lot of people going to be going at a lot of people's necks, because, you know, I look at stuff in time fashion, to where, like, somebody like a Skip Bayless put his prayers out there and stuff. Put your phone down after that. Don't pick your phone back up talking about what needs to happen with the game. A man's heart stopped on the field. And we're talking about playing the game. Like, I didn't even want to put it on Undisputed today. I don't anyway. But something was like, man, I want to see what he has to say. But I was like, I don't even care. Because that was somebody's son, brother, nephew. And it was like, oh, let's get back to the game. This is a big implication, the playoff game, playoff implications. No, man, this is not a twisted ankle. This is not a sprained neck. This is a person whose heart stopped. And his peers, brothers, seen it. There's no more football left to be played. I just hope that this man will be able to pull out of this, man. And you know, no matter if he gets to play the game he loves, if he's just going to be okay. Because, like I said, man, I've been in a lot of traumatic situations with my pops, sitting there seeing some stuff where he's just like, man, prayer helps, man. Prayer is a crazy thing with my aunt, with my uncle, you know what I'm saying? Like prayer helps. Prayer can help in ways where you sit there saying, like, man, this man just lost his father. What is he talking about? Man, prayer helps, because you know what? There's no more pain and suffering. When he gets to a point to where there's a lot of pain and suffering, it gets to a point to where somebody's feeling like, you know what, man, what is going on? Prayer helps to where you're praying for peace. You're praying for no more pain. You're praying for those things. And whenever it happens, that is the ultimate. Because when that person cannot recover from that shell that we have, what we call our bodies, man, spiritually, you know, being peaceful, being rooted away from pain, I think you would rather have that than the latter. So, I mean, like, you'd be selfish to sit there and say, like, oh, man, like, you know, he ain't gonna be able to play football no more, man, like, we should have been praying that he can, you know, play. People are going to be sitting there like, is he going to be able to play again? Man, pray for that man's well-being, man. Just like Ryan Shazier, you know, we don't know what, if it's the hit that causes. We don't know if it's been the impact. We don't know if it could have been, if he would have been going in a drive-through. And that could have happened. But the fact is that it happened on national TV, that we, you know, the world's seen it. The world didn't see Corey Stringer pass out and die. His team did. The world didn't see Hank Adler's die on that basketball court. That arena did. So, I mean, you got to think when the world sees someone on the national stage like that, it's going to get the type of publicity that it's going to get. And it's going to get those people saying this and that, updates and updates and updates and updates and updates. Man, we just want to know if this man is going to be okay. And from the last update that we've gotten, that I've gotten, is that he's okay. In that critical condition, heartbeat back to normal, we're praying. That you know, watching a video of this kid on a talk show talk about things in this nature, like, you know, he seems like a well-rounded kid, or just a kid that believes in faith, you know, or just a kid that just prays, a kid that just knows that, man, like, I don't know, that video was saying, he was sitting there saying that he was, you know, praying with his teammates and stuff, and it's just like, you could just how he was talking, man, it's just like, he's a good kid. And it's not sitting there saying that other people are, you know, you get what I'm saying. We lost another, you know what I'm saying, I guess you could say a real good person in society, man. I mean, like Ken Block, race car driver, drove for Monster, Drift King, that people like to call him, did stuff with Travis Pastrana. Just did a hell of a run. I just was showing friends of mine, man. Just was showing, like, people that didn't know nothing about him. I was like, I don't know Ken Block. He, like, just killed the Electricana, man. Like, him and Travis Pastrana did an amazing run. Like putting on a show leading up to the holidays, and it's just like, this man died accidentally on a snowmobile accident. This man has, like, done depth. He's done drifts on cliffs with a Mustang, you know what I'm saying? He's done so many stuff where you just like, man, how in the heck, you know, he ain't, and, you know, died living the dream. It's crazy, man. Jeremy Renner, everybody knows him as Hawkeye. He's in a critical condition. Had a snow plowing accident up there at Lake Tahoe. It's just crazy, man. We got, you know, this, like, life is delicate, man. It's delicate. Gotta be careful out here, man. Gotta be careful, and you gotta know that how careful you can be. Hear me on this. You can be super duper careful, and something can happen. And that's just life. You know, Roy Halladay was probably up in that plane being careful. Yeah, he might have been under the influence with what came out to be, whatever like that, but that's not to say he wasn't up there, like, just cooked and not knowing what was. He was being careful, just things happen. That man, that movie, they made a movie, was drunk and landed a plane. So, you never know what life is going to do, man. You never know what life is going to do. Who would have thought that through this year, ups and downs, that four major things happened with my dad that he would call amount like accomplishments of, like, I ain't done that in a long time. Grill out with ribs with me and family, riding his 1981 Z28 Camaro, hear a loud ass sound system in his boom boom room. And he got to throw a surprise birthday party for my mom. Those are four accomplishments that, you know, to be back with that record crew, to have all these people up here, and just, I mean, like, it made his, I mean, so it's just like, we don't know when life was going to stop us. So it's like, you look at somebody like a Ken Block that sit there and do those stuff every single day. It's like, man, shoot, you know, you go here, you here today, you go tomorrow. You never know how it's going to happen. But you do stuff that is going to make you happy. Do stuff that's going to uplift you. Do stuff that's going to sit there and make you sit there and you get up and have a smile on your face, because look at life, man. Look at life. You know, I'm sitting there with a real good friend of mine, and was sitting there just like, crazy, man, like, how stuff could just happen. Back-to-back years was just like, you know, like, you gotta do the stuff that you know, like, put your mind to. If you sit there and you got goals or whatever like that, I mean, it puts a whole new fire into me, you know? It's just crazy, man. And, you know, It's wild, man. Every time, you know, death comes, it's wild. Point blank period. It's wild. And then you have death being a part of like the whole equation. When you think of your own mortality, you want to do these things. You do things you set out to do, man. Like your goals, accomplishments. I mean, that's all thing I can sit there and say, because you never know. We never know. We never know. I just want to, for, you know, my Charleston natives out there that, you know, that rock with me, that listen to me, you know what I'm saying? Thank you for the, you know, love and support that y'all give me on Facebook. People that have called me, people that have, you know, sent out messages and stuff like that. I haven't been able to, people have called my cell phone, my text messaging, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if anybody's called or texted me. I can't get that type stuff. So I don't, you know, I'm kind of in the dark on that, but a lot of people have been able to get a hold of me on Snapchat, whether it be Messenger, you know, WhatsApp, you know, whatever. But for people that's, you know, reached out to me, thank you. And, you know, it's going to be a rough process, and, you know, I had to get something out there for the new year. So happy new year, everybody. We got a national championship that we should be pumped up to watch. I mean, I would have never thought that Michigan was going to lose to TCU. TCU put on a hell of a football game. Almost let it slip away. But they've been the type of team to come back from deficits. Why not hold on to one, to a good lead, and don't create a deficit? And they did that. Ohio State, I thought once they got 30, they was going to win it. But I picked Georgia to win the game. I picked Georgia to win the national championship. And they did what they were supposed to do. They came back. They won. People going to say they got cheated. It's always Ohio State fans. I've seen them out there posting stuff like that. It's no cheating. You lost. You missed the field goal, too. So there's that. Natty's locked and ready to rock and roll. There's one more game left in the NFL season. We've got to see some wild ones, wild plays, wild things happen. I would say one wild thing you can say is that Mike Evans is a nine-time, nine-season, 1,000-yard receiver. Put some respect on his name. I've been wanting to sit there and say, because of what's been going on, haven't been able to record, T.Y. Hilton, what's up? You know, still, Dallas need to get it together. But the Packers, I'm going to say big ups to Jonathan Harold. I know sometimes he listens, man. Groceries, man. Y'all doing it. The Packers winning. Man, that's all you can say. They're winning. 49ers winning. Dolphins losing. Can't believe it. Ravens, you need Lamar out there. That tells you he needs the money. He's not been out there. Ravens can't be the Ravens. He's out there. You have a fighting chance when you don't have help around him. Derek Carr, you blew up your chance, man. And this is me sitting there going off the top of the dome of stuff that I have not been able to loosely pay attention to. And certain things have been going on where my head has been really in this direction. But I'm just trying to give y'all the best of me and the best logic that I could give y'all and how I do it, and see if it comes out entertaining or not. But Derek Carr, you're done. You are a person that was actually getting sympathy in the league. There was the one person that actually gets sympathy in the league. Maybe it might get you signed quickly, but you went out there and just threw your bus, threw your coach under the bus. Done. You're done. Devontae Adams, without Derek Carr, is a stud. He's definitely the best receiver in the league. I'm sorry for not calling him that. Definitely the best receiver in the league. Definitely. Hands down. He's the best receiver in the league. Second, Jefferson. Third, I'm going to give Tyreek. And then I'm going to say fourth. I had it with Tyreek, Jefferson, and then Devontae. But I'm going to say it's Devontae. And I'm going to say Jefferson. And I'm going to say Tyreek. And then I'm going to say Mike Evans. And then I'm going to end it off by giving it to Stephon Diggs. I'm gonna say that Mike Evans in like he does more down the field, and that's why he gets the 1,000-yard seasons that he gets. And I just think that's better, especially whenever who won the Super Bowl last. Because having that with Mike Evans is better than having with that with Stephon Diggs. I tell you that. Just saying. LeBron talking shit. I don't blame him. AD, back street clothes. Don't know when he's going to come back. He told me he's feeling better. I don't know if he's going to come out there and roll his ankle again. Then we got LeBron going crazy on his birthday. He's doing some Jordan-type stuff. Jordan scored 50 when he was that age. Then, you know, they try to call it 45-plus. That nigga scored 50, okay? Okay? Jordan. Donovan Mitchell scored 71 last night. That's pretty crazy. With a win! Devin Booker, you see what I'm saying? Nobody wants to talk about that 70 points because you got blew out. At least Donovan Mitchell, you know, forces overtime. If they would have lost, you feel what I'm saying? Like, if they would have lost, I would have gave it a little bit more. And Donovan Mitchell, man, 71 points. Jokic having big games. Luka. 60 and 20? Are you kidding me? 60, 20, and 11? But yeah, Donovan Mitchell has 71 and 11. And 9 and 8. It's crazy. Tyler Herro's hitting game winners. Tyler Herro's a baller, right? Right? We've seen Orlando Magic with Bobo and Paolo. I've talked about that. But look at Tyree Halliburton, who's been averaging like 38 points in the last 5 games. Losing his mind because people talking shit. I tell you, these NBA players, which, you know, back in the 90s, they talk shit, but they threw elbows and punched shit. It's all social media throwing jabs with these players and stuff like that. Tyrese Halliburton, like, I ain't the one. Y'all try to act like analysts/players. I'm going to show y'all something. Ayton and his coach, Monty Williams, they getting into it. They're not getting along. The Phoenix Suns getting bombarded with this and that, and they talking shit when they don't need to be. The Warriors without Steph Curry. Big time 50-point game for Klay Thompson, hit 10 threes. They've been needing that from him. I think another thing I want to point out is the fact that Javante Tank Davis, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what one of the things where, like get better with that. Because that's like, when Floyd had that obstacle and he had to sit there and go through that and go through that hell of domestic violence and had to sit there and go. But you are actual, like, savage out here with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the difference where people would sit there and say, oh, he's a woman beater. And it's like, no video, there's no... Really no, like we go really look at that case between Floyd and that whole situation, whereas it's like, you look at other domestic stuff with Greg Hardy, you think of Ray Rice, and you think of, like Tank has done stuff on camera like that to where he don't care. And I just hate that for him to be a young 26-year-old man that don't care like that type of stuff will, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody gotta get rushed to the hospital because they... Bro, like, bro, what are you doing? Go home. Like, I just don't understand somebody that talented, that gifted, that, you know, that can have a superstar power that black people come around and love, but I can't support that. When you're a over offender, you sit there and roughed up that girl at a basketball game, you roughed her up and this, like, now you, I mean, like, come on. It makes me put more support into people like that kid from Fort Wayne, you know what I'm saying, like, who's a monster out here who put on a magical performance. I forgot his damn name now, Taylor. Like, I'll lean over towards that guy. Errol Spence. Bud Crawford. Shakur Stevenson. these are the guys that I look at to be, hopefully they're not doing that stupid shit too. Hopefully they take care of themselves and doing the right things, being the right person for themselves and theirs. But Tank, you're just being this person where you like, yeah, y'all love me for boxing, but fuck all y'all, I don't give a shit. You gotta care about something. My dad used to say that, man. You gotta care, man. Like, I mean, I get in trouble with school, didn't care about it. You don't care. You gotta care. You gotta care. Even if it's about your pussy ass career, because at some point when you hitting on female, I don't give a damn about your career, man. Shit, wow, man. I cannot stand that. Like, Tank Davis talking about, I don't give it up. I don't want to play. What are you playing, a victim? Because if there is anything of a sensationalized or the woman line or something like that, you still got to be somewhat of a monster to be the type where you are to, because we seen you on camera. He yanked that girl up in that basketball game, man. Did not care, not one bit. That's scary. When somebody can do something to a female like that and not care that people are watching, sheesh. Sheesh. Come on, Tank. Come on, Tank. John Jones is finally going to be fighting again. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to the day to see John Jones back in that octagon. So that's just something that's in the cooler just waiting to see. I want to sit there and say on a final thought before I get off here, Jack Ryan's back, season 3. Go check it out. It's dope. Definitely go check out Coach Prime. It's on Amazon. I got to watch, I'm going to start doing this on each episode. I got to watch these movies. And like I said, going in the end of 2022, I didn't get a chance to say what the best movie of 2022 was, but a lot of people going to sit there and say The Batman. It definitely wasn't The Batman, the best movie of 22. My favorite movie of 2022? And this might shock a lot of y'all. My favorite movie of 2022 might have to be the Last Scream that they came out with. I mean, because it's just nostalgia, and you know, they missed on a couple of the last ones, and that one right there was really good. And I'm not a big scary movie person, but as far as 2022 goes, like, Spider-Man was great, but it just, you know, Doctor Strange 2, okay. You got to see Black Adam. We got to see, that was good, you know what I'm saying? It was Bullet Train is definitely up there, but it's just like, I don't know, man. I can just go back and watch that Scream, that Last Scream, man. It's just like it they put the first and second one with new stuff, and I thought they did it perfectly well as far as like if you ain't seen all the rest of them, you ain't gonna think like me. But going through the history of the Scream movie franchise, like, they definitely did it right by bringing everybody back and how they did the story and this and that. It just was perfectly done. Like, I can't get over that. I really was sitting there tripping, yelling at myself, like, that really your best movie of 2022? I'm like, that really is something. It might, and here's the crazy thing about me, that movie might have came out in 2021, it's just that I watched it in 2022. So, it might be Bullet Train, if that's the case. If that was the case to where that movie came out in 21, then Bullet Train, for me, might be the best movie of 2022. I think Bullet Train reaches up there. The Batman definitely wasn't. It was less than Doctor Strange 2 and Spider-Man No Way Home, which I thought Spider-Man was better than Doctor Strange. I thought Black Panther 2 was better than all of them. I thought Black Adam was really well. I didn't understand the whole DC thing, what they've done, but they've done it. I'm not even going to sit there and give you 10 minutes to talk about it. I'm just confused about how they just thought the $600 million was the quota for Black Adam when $384 million is well what they really, you know, was good enough. But all of a sudden it wasn't. I'm not going to go in deep in what DC doing because I think what they're doing is they want a hard reset with a new athletic director, as I like to put it. And he, the athletic director being James Gunn, is like, I don't want to deal with the prima donna or the grandfathered in people that's going to try to push and boss me around, The Rock, being somebody was going to come in and try to do it off the rip, but he was like, damn, he's going to bring Henry Cavill, try to do it, and then Momoa going to feel the need to try to do it, and I'm not doing it. And that's why he just scrapped a whole bunch of stuff, him and that other guy, and I'm just like, well, what are y'all going to do? What are y'all going to do? We'll see. I guess we will see, but, you know, hearing about Lobo and now Henry Cavill talking about he's going to go do Steel Hammer, which that ain't even DC or Marvel. So, I mean, like, it just... I was like, damn, that hurt to know that we was going to get Superman back. Might get a Man of Steel 2. We was hearing that. We was hearing, you know, the Rockets, and it was hearing the Aquaman 2. Now all that scrap, Shazam's going to be scrapped. Flash, all this stuff is just done. Ben Affleck had great ideas. It was going to be great with Deathstroke. It was going to be dope with Martian Manhunter. Zack Snyder was going to really kick ass, but you know how things happen. Things happen. And we'll see the next 5 or 6 years down the road. Good Lord's willing. You know, it's not to say Superman is dead. It's not to say Batman is dead. It's just the actors got told, hey, y'all had a good run. Now we're going to move on in a different direction. They're going to start it off with the youngins. And they're going to bring Batman and Superman into the fold and however they do it. But got 5 minutes of DC talk anyway. Marvel, on the other hand, they sitting there saying they're going to draw back on doing so many series, which is cool because we don't need 8-10 episodes of every character you want to unleash. You know, unleash characters in ways of being dynamic, entertaining. Bring them out in movies. You know, if you want to bring Wolverine out, bring them out in World Hulk. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to bring out these people, do it like how the comic books did it. They don't need a full season to where we're like, oh, man, third episode next week. Fourth episode, oh, man, hopefully they show when he turns into such and such. You know, just give us a 50-minute joint or give us a cameo in a movie where the movie is what we was building up for. No need just sitting there saying, oh, this person's getting a movie. Don't need that either. But, hey, I just wanted to get back out here and say, hey, I ain't going nowhere. But no understanding that I was, you know, me and the family was going through it. And still going to be going through it. Still going to be going through it, man. Redman, David Austin, man, my dad, man, my hero. The person that, you know, with the Malcolm X hat or any type of hat, cruising, he got on the motorcycle, he turned the hat backwards, no helmet. Shoot a jump shot one-handed, never shot. I'd never seen him shoot a two-handed jump shot. He played basketball, for crying out loud. But, you know, a person that just knew, like, hey, man, time to work, you know. But when he played with me and my brothers or played with cousins, stuff like that, I remember he'd shoot one-handed. He was, this is how you shoot right here, like Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson did that. He had that one-handed, like, little shot where he, you know, he sit there, had a ball right there, then he'd shoot that one-handed shot. That's how my dad shot. He shot like Magic Johnson. And he was like, Magic! You know, I remember we all used to play, it was when he called it quits too, and I'll never forget, we was playing 32, and he came out there, and we was sitting there, me and my brother, and I'll never forget, it wasn't like he was hurt or nothing, but we could just tell he was tired as hell, and at a point to where he was like, I don't want to sit there and get elbowed by one of y'all and have to whoop one of y'all's ass, you know, like, hilariously. And he walked in the house and he was like, we had a basketball court right outside our house. And he was like, I'm done. He was like, I'm done. I'm not playing no more. He never played sweating type basketball again. If anything, he shot a one-hand jumper. All right, let me get another one. And that was it. That was it. He wasn't twisting no ankles. He wasn't doing none of that because he realized, like, hey, I'm the one out here that's got to drive to this county, that county. This, you know, like, he was going here, there, everywhere, working. So, I mean, that's something that's in me, something that's, you know, not going to forget, something that's, you know, hey, like I said, man, like, this is how I'm going to get through it. So, y'all going to have to bear with me. But this is my episode of Sauce Talk. Like I said, we got a national championship to gear up for. We got the playoffs getting ready to get popping after another week of games. Hopefully that this postponed game we get back with no problem, because with, you know, near playoffs, You know, it's going to be crazy to try to fit in a postponed game. But like I said, nothing more important than a thing called life. And I'm glad that empathy, I'm glad that humility that showed at a big time last night whenever Mr. Hamlin went down the way he did and lost his life on that field. And thank God, thank the Lord that CPR worked. And that's my episode, man. So y'all have a good one. Enjoy. Happy New Year. And let's make 2023, as my dad would say, you know, time to kick ass.